one word struck me from the gospel. Behold. I know you're like, wow, Father Mark, fascinated by one word. What could be crazy and new and different? One word, behold. And I was thinking about that word because I would venture to say none of you hear that word any other time during the week except if you come to Mass. Behold. Does anyone say, like when you wake up in the morning and you enter into your first period classroom, you're like, behold. Right? We just don't use that word. But it's a significant word because so often we just glance or we scan. Sometimes we look, maybe even sometimes we see, but very rarely do we behold. What does it mean to behold something? It means to be captivated by it, enthralled by it. In some ways it means to be held by it. So most people, if they said, oh, when was the last time you felt like beholding something, they might say, well, out in nature. I saw this great sunset. Or today, for example, I went and hiked Mount Helena, and the beautiful sky, the blue sky today, shining upon the landscape on the top there, where the snow had melted on certain sides but was still present on the other side, all of it just makes you want to stop and contemplate and behold. But friends, I wonder how many people would say, yeah, every time I come to Mass, I'm ready to behold. I wonder how many people would say that here. Is there anything going on tonight that would cause us to be held by something, to be captivated by it, to be enthralled? Well, if we knew what was going on at Mass, we would say absolutely. Absolutely. Let's jump back for just a little bit. Last week, we had Jesus' identity, the Son, right? He is the Son. This week in the gospel, we get his mission because, see, identity and mission go together. Agere seguitur esse. Action follows being. Jesus is the Son, but the Son has a mission. So, real quickly, the who, the what, and the how. The who, the what, and the how. Who is Jesus? He is the Son. He is the Son from all eternity. But the Son has work to do. Jesus says in John 5:17, he says, my Father is at work until now, so I am at work. See, Jesus as the Son is about the work of the Father. And so that gets us into the what. What is Jesus about? Well, his name gives away the game. Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. That's what he's about. Isaiah tells us that salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. That is what Jesus is about. His salvation reaching to the ends of the earth as he saves his people from what? From everything that opposes the reign and the will and the love of God. As he saves his people from their sins. Jesus. That's why he's named Jesus. And how is that supposed to happen? How is the Son supposed to save his people and all of us? Tonight's gospel. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. The Lamb of God. Not the King of Kings. Not the mighty warrior. Not the almighty, all-powerful Lord. But when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb of God. Friends, for us that might not mean much. But for Jews that meant everything. Because they would have known right away that the Lamb of God is a reference back to the most significant event in their history up to that point, the Passover, the Exodus, where the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, is slaughtered and the blood is painted on the doorposts. Sacrifice is made so that people could be set free. That's the principle of the Old Testament. It's the principle of the New Testament. Everything that was happening in the Old Testament finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. And so when John the Baptist cries out, "Behold the Lamb of God," this is the definitive freedom for God's people. This is the real Exodus. Much more so than just leaving a country where they were enslaved. This is leaving a spiritual state of enslavement to sin. And Jesus is the one who will accomplish that. But he has to be the Lamb. He doesn't do it in earthly power. He does it by offering his life. So here's a principle, and this is true on so many levels. The theologian Matthew Levering said, "In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice." In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. If everything was perfect, we could have communion because we'd just be radically open to one another. But that's not the way it is. We have to live in reality. And the reality is this: things have gone wrong out there and in here. And in such a world like this, there can be no real communion, no union with, unless there is sacrifice. And so Jesus sacrifices himself on the cross. He gives up his life. He lays it down. He pours out his blood so that communion could be established once again between God and humanity, between the divine life and our human existence. And friends, that is the most significant event that happens in the history of humanity. It's the most significant event that has happened in your life, even though it happened so very long ago. But here's the deal. If last week we learned that we are sons and daughters in the Son, that we are meant to participate in that identity that Jesus has, this week we need to learn that we are also sharers in the mission. And that mission is precisely what he accomplished on the cross, the redemption, that we are brought into it. So you see, what happens here, friends, is not something we just simply observe. In fact, let me read you the prayer over the offerings you'll hear in just a few moments at Mass. "Grant, O Lord, that we may participate worthily in these mysteries. For whenever the memorial of this sacrifice is celebrated, the work of our redemption is accomplished." You see, we are called to participate, to get into, because whenever we gather to worship this way, the sacrifice that we celebrate tonight, the work of our redemption is accomplished. See, our redemption is represented. We're taken sacramentally back to Calvary. It's not represented. It's re-presented. It's presented yet again so that this time we can participate in it, that we can be taken up into it. And that's exactly what we pray when we pray the words of the Mass, when we worship and offer ourselves. You see, at the height of the Mass, Jesus, the words of consecration, he says, "This is my body, which will be given for you. This is my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." But then he says something more. "Do this in memory of me." Do this. Don't just observe it. Don't just passively watch it. But take it into yourself so that you might be taken up into it. That's the dynamic. That's how communion with Jesus is established. See, his sacrifice establishes communion with us. But friends, tonight I want you to really pray about and really think about how much your communion with him needs sacrifice. In a world gone wrong, there can be no communion without sacrifice. There can be no communion without sacrifice. Friends, we too, we have to sacrifice. It's not just Jesus. It is him, and it's his work. But if we're going to be like him, we have to be willing to act like him. We have to be willing to sacrifice. So here's the deal. I know God wants to do great things on this campus this semester. I know it. It's not just a hunch. It's not just a hope. It's a truth. God wants to do great things on this campus, in your heart and in the hearts of other people. But in order for that to happen, he needs willing participants. He needs men and women who are willing to be taken up into his work, into how he lives and how he is. And that is a question for us to ponder. Are we willing? The Lord needs generous hearts. The Lord needs more than just generous hearts. He needs sacrificial hearts. Are you willing to make sacrifices for the Lord? What sacrifices would you need to make so that his work could be done on this campus and beyond this campus? What conveniences? What preferences? What more superficial desires need to actually be sacrificed so that the Lord can do his work? So that what he wants to do can be accomplished in you, but also through you. You see, we have joyful hearts on this campus. We even have generous hearts on this campus. Do we have sacrificial hearts on this campus? Well, we need them. You need me to be a sacrificial priest who gives and sacrifices for you and for the Lord. But I need you to be sacrificial, to give and offer, to offer up good things for better things, to offer up better things for the best thing. And that is serving Jesus Christ with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul. Friends, when, not if, when the Lord calls you to be generous, say yes. But when, and not if, when the Lord calls you to be sacrificial, say yes. Don't be afraid to say yes, because the Lord can never be outdone in generosity. And any sacrifice you make for him always brings abundant life. Look at the cross. Look at what that won for us. Thank God for that. Look at the Blessed Mother. Look at what her sacrifice won for us. Think about your own life. Be sacrificial. Do not be afraid, friends, because you can't really follow Jesus until you are generously sacrificial. And when that happens, the whole adventure of life with him breaks wide open. So do not be afraid. Offer your life, a joyful, generous, living sacrifice offered to Jesus so that his work can be done in you and his work can be done through you. There is nothing more important. May we say yes to that gift tonight and say yes to that mission always.